Today's reading comes from Acts 2, verse 14, and then the following verses, 36 to 41. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And then verse 36 to 41. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sarah. And Rob's going to come up now. He's going to preach for us. And as he does, I'm going to pray for him. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. Particularly thank you for Acts and the story of the early church, those very exciting days as your spirit was moving through that group of believers. We thank you, Lord, that that same spirit is at work today. We pray for that spirit to be at work as Rob speaks to us, that we, as your believers, as your followers, will hear what you have to say and will go out into the world full of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. So today we're looking at why should we share our faith? So we're starting a new sermon series on sharing faith. And last week we finished our last one, which is on the Holy Spirit. Rather ironically, we finished our sermon series on the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, which is, of course, the beginning of the Holy Spirit. And so because of that, I think it's really important for us to remember that whilst we finished a sermon series on the Holy Spirit, the Spirit hasn't finished. It's just beginning. And I think as a church, we're all really keen to make sure that we've got the Spirit with us and that we've got it at the center of everything that we do and everything that we talk about. Particularly in our worship and particularly in our everyday lives. And so throughout this sermon, I'm going to try and focus on the Holy Spirit a lot as well. So this question, why should we share our faith, has got what I think a really quite simple answer, and that's why not? Ultimately, if you know the love of Jesus, if you've experienced the wonderful gift of forgiveness and salvation that Jesus gives to you, why on earth would you not want to share that? Why would you not want to share this fantastic experience that you've got of the people who you know, the people who you care about? And I believe that the passage we've heard today can really show this through two means, which are quite simple, quite easy to follow. The first is just quite literally what's being said, and the second is by who is saying it. So we'll start off by what's being said. So this passage, it follows on basically absolutely from what we were looking at last week. This passage is Peter coming to the end of his sermon on Pentecost, and he's finishing by showing us all that Jesus is Lord. And there's three words that he says, which really, I think, scare the people who he's talking to. And in almost a sense, it should scare us as well. And those three words are, whom you crucified, whom you crucified. And those words, They're being spoken to the Jews who are listening to them. But they speak to us. They speak to us today. And they speak to us throughout all time. It's our sin that sent Jesus to the cross, just as much was theirs. And the debt of sin is ours, and he took that on for us. So, Peter is telling us that Jesus came, he was glorified, and he took on a debt that wasn't his, that was ours. And the reaction of the people is incredibly similar to the reaction of people today. They're cut to the heart, and immediately they inquire as to how can we make this right. They realize what we've done is wrong, and they want to make that right. And Peter replies, repent and be baptized. And this is a massive thing for the Jewish people who he's talking to here, because he's asking them to change their attitude to Jesus completely and submit to what John Stott calls the humiliation of baptism. Because previously, Jewish people only believed that baptism was necessary for a Gentile convert. But here, Stott's saying everybody needs to experience this baptism if they want to encounter these wonderful gifts that God has given us. And they need to do this in the name of the one who they'd previously rejected, and that is Jesus. And again, for us, before we know Jesus, we are rejecting Jesus. Before we know Jesus, we're rejecting Jesus. And we need to repent and be baptized of that. And so, by doing this, through this repentance, we can see clearly that we receive two gifts. Forgiveness from sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God is providing his people, the people who turn to him, the power to transform their lives, the power to regenerate, the power to unite his people under the name of Christ Jesus. And this goes beyond the promise. This promise goes beyond the people who are present. Verse 39 says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That's you and me. But it's more than that. That's everyone. God has sent out this call for everyone. God doesn't discriminate. He wants everybody to encounter these gifts. And so, when we're thinking, why should we share our faith? Firstly, it's because God wants us to. God's asked us to. God has given us these gifts so they can be shared, so that we can use what we've got to continue to share the message of Jesus with everyone we meet. All who God will call will receive these gifts. You can't hear the call. You can't accept the call without receiving these gifts. You can't accept Jesus without receiving the Holy Spirit, without receiving forgiveness from sin. And so if we have answered God's call, these gifts are ours. These gifts are ours for today. They are with us, and they exist with us, and we have them. And as Hazel so excellently put it last week, the gift is for today. And the promise is for all who God has called. And we've got an obligation, but more than that, we've got a privilege to share it, to share the wonderful news of what Jesus brought to us. He's a promise to all. And so I just want to focus on who's speaking these words, because it's quite a fascinating story. And the person who's speaking is, of course, Peter. And I love Peter. I think he's an absolutely fantastic person in the Bible. And I always relate to him, because he's the lovable everyman in the Gospels. He's the one who, I think, sees Jesus in exactly the same way that if we could see Jesus in the same way he could, we'd react in exactly the same way that Peter did. Because he's constantly overwhelmed by Jesus. He's challenged by Jesus. And he's always quick to try and show Jesus just how much he loves him, even if he gets it wrong sometimes. He's the one who Jesus calls the rock. He's the one who's called to be a fisher of men. He's the one who Jesus clearly has a plan for that Peter just doesn't quite understand yet. And so he's got so much love, and he loves Jesus with all of his heart. And yet, 7 weeks before this passage, 7 weeks, he denied him. He denied him 3 times. If we think about why did he do that? Why did he deny this man who he loved so much? He denied him because he was scared. And fundamentally, he denied him because he was alone. In that moment where he realizes that he's denied Jesus for a 3rd time, that's something we can all relate to. In Luke 22, verse 62, it says, "And he went out and he wept bitterly." And I'm sure we've all had those times in our lives where we felt like we've let ourselves down, we've let Jesus down. Those times where we know what we should be doing, and yet we don't live like what we should be doing. And I know I have. You know, there's been times in my life where I find myself doing something which I know I shouldn't. And I do it because I'm scared. I do it because I'm alone. When I was 14, it was very cool to not be a Christian. And I wasn't very cool. And I'm still not very cool, but I've kind of grown to not care about it now. But, you know, when you're 14, all you care about is being cool. And so even though you believe in Jesus, you think, no, actually, I'm going to act like I don't. I'm going to reject. I'm going to deny that I know Jesus. And I was doing this for a few years in my teenage, trying to, oh, look, I'm edgy, I'm cool, I don't care about church, whatever. And I experienced something I think very similar to what Peter has experienced here. And I was stood right there. I was in church. I was stood right there. It was during a holiday Bible club. And I experienced the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came down to me. And I realized what I was saying and what I was doing, what I was trying to be, was just wrong. I wasn't living up to the standard that I wanted to set for myself. And I wasn't living up to the standard that God asking for me. Through actively rejecting Jesus, through denying Jesus, I was letting myself down. I was letting him down. And that's exactly what Peter had done. He'd denied, he'd let himself down. He'd let Jesus down. And yet here he is, giving a sermon in the center of Jerusalem. And as Stott notes in his book, in his commentary on Acts, Stott says that the body of Christ here is multiplied 26 times. 26 times through what Peter is saying. This is from a man who denied Jesus 7 weeks earlier, and now he's able to multiply the amount of people who believe in this city by 26 times. So how is he able to do this? It's all because of the Holy Spirit. This is all because of the role of the Holy Spirit. Sent down by Jesus to support Peter in his evangelical ministry. And Peter points this out. He says that we are to save ourselves from this corrupt generation. This is a call for public identification with other believers to continue to grow the church. He is saying that because we have these gifts, because we've experienced God, what we need to do is publicly identify ourselves with Christ. We need to publicly stand up and say, this is what I believe, this is who I believe in, and I want to share that. I want to share this belief that I have. I've mentioned Stott's commentary on Acts a few times now, but I don't want to quote from the book, I want to quote from the blurb, which is quite an odd thing to do, but I read this and I thought it was absolutely amazing. He says this: "The young church clearly had been overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, who thrust it out into witness." The young church had clearly been overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, who thrust it out into witness. This is the mission of the church. This is the mission that Jesus has given us. He's given us this mission to go out and witness. We need to go out and share our faith because that is what Jesus has asked us to do. And it's a truth that's not changed. It's not changed from when Luke was writing Acts to now. But what's also not changed is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has remained with us for that purpose. It doesn't say in the Bible, oh, and the Holy Spirit came down and then went back up again. No, the Holy Spirit has stayed here. It's still with us. When we pray, come Holy Spirit, we're not saying come down. We're saying come in. The Holy Spirit has never left us. It's here, it's present. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. It needs to be present. So rather than seeing the Holy Spirit as something that we need to wait on to come down to meet us, it's something that we need to be inviting in because it's knocking on the door. The Holy Spirit wants to come in. He wants to meet us. He wants to help us. He wants to empower us because that is the role the Holy Spirit has been given. This change in Peter was instantaneous with when he received the Spirit. I know that my life changed when I received the Holy Spirit. When I said yes. When I invited the Holy Spirit into my life. You know, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I know for a fact I couldn't be stood up here right now. Jesus sent the Spirit so we can share our faith. And that's a gift that we've received. And because we received that gift, we just need to share it. We need to go out and share it. But I think a lot of this almost comes naturally to us. We know that we want to share our faith. We know that Jesus asks us to share faith. But no matter how hard we try, we still find ourselves in those moments where we don't. Where we just feel like there's nothing we can do. And perhaps instead of considering why should we share our faith, we should be considering why do we not? What are we doing in those moments where we know we could or we know we should be sharing our faith, but we know that we are not? Is it because we don't let ourselves be equipped? Is it because we experience that same fear that Peter had? That same fear of what people will say, what people will think. I think sometimes we put barriers up between our faith and the people in our lives. We experience this fear. We experience this anxiety, this worry. And we think, I know how I feel about you, God, but I don't know how other people feel about me having that feeling. And because of that, we just pretend it doesn't exist. We put these barriers up. But like Phil said last week, Jesus died and was glorified to tear down barriers. And that's including these barriers. And I think what we can take away the most from this passage is that when we share our faith, we're never alone. We're never alone. Because that's exactly why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to overcome these barriers. To overcome these barriers between ourselves and other people. To overcome these barriers that we place between our faith and our lives. So that the Holy Spirit can work between everything. Because that's what we're called to do. We are called to go out into the world and to witness the love of Jesus Christ. And so, to finish, I think it would be beneficial for us all to just spend just a few minutes just in silent prayer. So I will stop talking. And I just want you to spend just a few moments just inviting the Holy Spirit in. The Holy Spirit's there. The Holy Spirit's here. It's knocking on the door. I want you to just let him in. If it helps, it would be beneficial if you could consider moments in your week to come where you can share your faith and just ask for the Spirit to be with you. Father God, we know we let you down. We know we let ourselves down. We know that we don't always answer your call in the way that we should. Lord, we thank you that that you've given us these two amazing gifts. You've given us your forgiveness from our sins and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will just come on in. The Holy Spirit will just be with us in this coming week. Will be with us in all weeks after that. Lord, we pray that when we encounter new people, when we encounter old people, that your Holy Spirit will be with us, so that we can not be ashamed of our love for you. We pray that you'll help us break down these barriers that we so selfishly put up ourselves. And Lord, most importantly, we pray that we will always know, we will always know that you are with us in everything we do. Amen.